From the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan, we offer grace and peace to all of you who have joined us for our online service of worship on this, the second Sunday of Advent 2020. We welcome all of you, and we ask God's richest blessing upon our worship today and each Sunday as we proceed through Advent. Lots of wonderful things coming up, including music. And we are planning a special Christmas Eve service, which will, of course, be different this year. It'll be online, but I'm excited about the music. We will also be having a special Sunday, the last Sunday of the year, the first Sunday after Christmas. Reverend Linda Farmer Lewis, her last day with us here at Mayflower before she goes on to Arbor Grove. She'll be preaching that day in the service, and we will take a little time to say goodbye, a difficult goodbye, but also with joy in our hearts as she's going on to pastor the Arbor Grove Congregational Church in Jackson, Michigan. As we worship, let all mortal flesh keep silent.
Thank you. The world is in a big mess. We have been told that we are possibly facing the biggest public health challenge in the history of our country. So while our worship team gathers in this sanctuary to lead online worship, most of our worship today is in the confines of our homes, just like it has been for nearly 9 months. Because of that, we can feel isolated and alone, but we gather today to look beyond the mess. God is speaking. What is God saying? Let us open our hearts in worship to hear God's voice spoken and revealed through song, scripture, sermon, prayer, and thoughtful reflection. May God be praised as we continue in worship. Please join me in prayer. Gracious God and loving Lord, we have entered into a holy hour of worship. Help us to tune out all other voices, to listen, discern, and respond to the voice of God. Speak to us, Lord, with the same comfort and tenderness with which you spoke to those of old, who suffered great loss and devastation. We bring the whole mess of this pandemic to the attention of God, acknowledging our complacency and apathy. We also bring the messes of our own lives, acknowledging our inability to find a way out. Encourage us with the thought that Christmas was first born in the burned-out rubble of Jerusalem. Turn our fears and anxieties into the calm assurance of renewed hope, not for an instant fix, but in full assurance of the one you are sending to feed us, gather us, and carry us into the bosom of the Good Shepherd, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Today we relight the candle of hope. Now we light the candle for the second Sunday in Advent, the purple candle. This is the candle of peace. As we prepare for the coming of Jesus, we remember that Jesus is our hope and our peace. From the prophet Isaiah, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." From the Gospel of John, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Let us pray. Gracious God, grant that we may find peace as we prepare for our Lord's birth. May divisions in ourselves and our families be peacefully resolved. May there be peace in our cities and in the countries of our world. Help us to see the paths of peace in our lives and then give us courage to follow them. Lord, let us remember that only you are the giver of lasting peace and that you are always with us. Amen.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to join with our worship team every Sunday, even in online worship. We trust that the spirit of our togetherness and unity comes across through the miracle of modern technology. We thank our music folks, including Marcia, this morning, sang that beautiful song, Upon My Request, from Handel's Messiah. And our production team and those that so wonderfully support this service and this church, which includes all of you. We also want to remind all of you watching online to gather whatever elements you have within your home or wherever you are, and if you can, to join us for Holy Communion that Pastor Jacob and I will share along with the worship team and those of you at home. Let us pray. O Lord, and our gracious and loving God, we tend to make a mess of things like I do around the house sometimes. We need your help to see beyond the messes that we make. We need to hear your voice, see your glory, and then become agents to partner with you in the cleanup of not only our mess, but the mess of this world and this country. Like the returning Jews to their devastated homeland, we pray that you would help us to listen, look, and see for the hope that comes in surprising ways where we might hear the voice of God. Surprise us, O God, with the forgotten, anguished, and beleaguered voices, whereby the glory of God shall be revealed as we look into those faces of brokenness and despair, and then hear the surprising words, here is your God. May also we see the glory of God revealed in our own brokenness. May we see it in the hope of the restoration of our common good in this world, in our broken country, and in our broken lives. May we see and hear voices well beyond the confines of this sanctuary. Help us to take hold of the promise found in the pages of Scripture, where hope instilled will call us to action. Help us to be the change, the hope, and the promise of God that we proclaim. So, O Lord, help us to be more tender, more compassionate, kinder, with more empathy toward those for whom you promised a comforter and a redeemer, which means everyone. Help us to imitate our Christ, even as we hope and wait again for his coming. We continue to pray faithfully and fervently for the needs of our Mayflower family, continuing to pray for those that have been so directly affected by the COVID virus. Martha Woodward's nephew, David Wells, Bob and Darlene's cousin, John Dashner, both of whom have had the virus. And we pray for Bryce Jarvie, the grandson of friends in our congregation. For these and all other requests, both spoken and unspoken, we lift up to you now the prayer of our Lord taught to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Isaiah 40 begins what scholars say is second Isaiah. A definite shift has taken place from the earlier dour predictions of gloom and doom to a note of hope and anticipation. We hear in this passage voices which are speaking. Who is speaking, and what is the hope contained therein? Fair questions, indeed. Hear now these words. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out! And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Thanks be to God.
A brief prayer. Lord, take the preparation that has been done and the prayers offered on behalf of this message into our hearts and our lives. Amen. After 3.5 years of standing behind this pulpit, it is difficult to know whether or how much is repeated. So there are themes that any pastor over a period of time will repeat, one of which is what many of you know, that I watch very little national news on television, not because it is necessarily inaccurate or biased, but because the emotive quality of it affects my psyche. I could not be an effective preacher on Sunday morning if I spent very much time during the week watching national news because, well, it just depresses me. I do read the news, however. Whether you watch the evening news this week or not, and we are all different, it doesn't take rocket science to know we are in a big mess. The pandemic, getting worse. Political polarization, getting worse, seemingly. Unfounded claims concerning massive voter fraud and subsequent undermining of our democracy. ICU beds maxed out, refrigerated trucks backing up to hospitals to house dead bodies. No indoor dining. Yet with this necessary restriction, many of those restaurants are now faced with enormous odds to remain financially viable and to protect jobs. My son is a restaurant employee and is a casualty of the pandemic, even though he refuses to eat inside of a restaurant, understanding that for safety. Now, this is just a short list, woefully incomplete, about the mess we are in. And do you, like me, get a little tired of hearing all these things repeated? Maybe so. It sounds like a broken record as it plays over and over again. But we talk about moving the needle, and I suppose that's where that term came from, time to move the needle. What isn't tiring is very personal. two casualties of the pandemic are personal for me. The tour business where I earned my livelihood for the better part of 20 years, which has had typical annual revenue now of nearly $3 million, has not had one dime of revenue since mid-March. Many of my friends who have worked at that company have had to say goodbye, not only to the company, but some their career in the tour business. One of those friends just had to leave this week after a 10-and-a-half-year career. It causes great pain with my former boss and best friend, Dan, to let anyone go. Until I met Deanne, my plan was to continue employment there, perhaps for the rest of my working life. And I've often wondered during the pandemic what I would be doing right now if I was still in Seattle. You have heard me say it before also, but we do not come into an escape hatch or an isolation chamber when we come to church. Our Sunday morning faith must intersect with Monday morning reality. So how do we navigate our faith beyond the reality of the mess we're in? Do we just hang on to the hope of a vaccine, and we're all hoping, that enough people will take it, and we're hoping, or simply wait for something called herd immunity, that the pandemic will go away and life will magically return to normal? The answer for us is no. Thankfully, our faith comes with a storybook. When we read and hear words like we just did from the Bible. And when we do, we learn from the past and look beyond the obvious. I don't know about you, and I'll admit something here, I feel a little ashamed and embarrassed as to why our country, the wealthiest and most technologically advanced with the highest forms of communication that the world has ever known, has not been able to do a better job curbing the pandemic, for which we all must take some personal responsibility. However, it might be easier for us to identify with the shame, embarrassment, and humiliation that returning Jews must have felt when they observed the ruins of their city, Jerusalem, around 538 in before the Common Era, after having been exiled for 60 to 70 years. That is the backdrop, once again, of today's scripture. There was a stigma attached then as to what it meant to be a Jew. It still exists today. There was also a stigma as to what the world thought of Jerusalem, the glorious city, now nothing but burned out rubble. And you can find this derision about Jerusalem in the Bible. That's right, in the Bible. The prophets Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Nahum, and Isaiah all make frequent reference to Israel and its capital, Jerusalem, as a whore. Yes, a whore. One example in Isaiah 57:3, we read, is that the offspring of Israel are called children of the whore. It's no wonder the stigma still exists. And I honestly wonder why the prophets chose that term. Sounds to me like public shaming. Well, I listened to another TED Talk this week, as I often do, and it was the personal story of a woman, now 47, but 22 at the time, when she made a mistake which dramatically altered her life. The mistake was that she fell in love with her boss, a married man who was 27 years older. This is a mistake that any unsuspecting, attractive, and ambitious 22-year-old woman might make. It was something that she deeply regretted, but her consequences were far more devastating than what could happen to most any other young woman swept up into an ill-advised but exciting romance. The reason? Her boss just happened to be the President of the United States. Her name is not lost on any one of us. Monica Lewinsky. She confided for hours During that time, on endless telephone calls to someone she thought was a trusted friend, you might have a little more difficulty remembering her name as Linda Tripp. Those telephone calls, 20 hours or so of a 22-year-old prattling on about all matters of life and love, including, in Monica's own words, her own cruel, uncouth, unforgiving, and ashamed worst of herself, perhaps no different from any of us at our most youthfully unguarded moments, conversations, or events of our lives. Have any of you ever fallen in love with the wrong person? Has your love life caused you any anguish or difficulty? Have you ever confided in someone you thought was a trusted friend and later learned of your private conversations about intensely personal matters because your friend betrayed you for personal gain or retribution? Through legal mandate, Monica's conversations were not only submitted to the office of the special counsel, but they were aired on television, portions of which were made available on the internet. And this was the first major news story that ever broke first on the internet. Previously, there were only three ways people received the news. My, how things have changed in 22 years. Television, radio, and newspaper. What followed was something most of us could have never endured. Public shaming, ridicule, and cyberbullying in the most denigrating fashion. She was called a tramp, a tart, bimbo, slut, and yes, a whore. I felt some guilt myself as I watched her articulately speak in front of hundreds of people. She revealed her dimensional self with a kindness in her soul, when once I really didn't care what anyone thought of Monica Lewinsky. After 10 years of relative silence, she has retaken her life and has since graduated with a master's degree in social psychology from the London School of Economics. She has been a business owner, a fashion designer, and perhaps most importantly, an activist and public speaker to help prevent the suffering and suicidal death of others, particularly young people as young as 14 through about 19, especially through the cruelty of social media, cyberbullying. And by the way, she is Jewish. Another exercise when we read the storybook to look beyond our mess is to listen. In today's narrative, there are voices, but the voices we hear will not likely come from the most expected places, nor will they speak with normal volume. The voices will come from the wilderness, where the most familiar voices are those strange sounds that wild animals make. But instead, it is the voice of someone who later announced the coming of God in human form, but doesn't look the part. Can you imagine your reaction to a man coming out of the wilderness dressed in camel's hair with a leather belt and eating nothing but wild locusts and honey? We would probably think it was Bigfoot. Other voices will emanate from the parched and dry desert of despair and depression, the rough places in lives where broken love affairs and the sorrow of lost opportunities abound. We will hear voices from the foreboding and hidden mountaintops, not fit for human habitation, from dark valleys through which we traverse the dark shadow of death, and from the crooked avenues where broken lives and broken dreams thrive. Still other voices will be crying out, disparaging the brevity of life, how old age stalks us like a cunning wild animal. And how familiar I am with that today. And our seemingly insignificant lives looking like withered grass and wilting, faded flowers. But no, these voices, when we listen, are the voices of God preparing the way for what God is about to do and how God is going to do it. Can you hear the voice of God? Through the brevity of our lives, we can only see the end. But Christmas is born, yes, Christmas, in the ruins of Jerusalem and in the ravages of a pandemic, the personal tragedies of cancer, divorce, bankruptcy, and natural disasters like wildfires, hurricanes, earthquakes, and tornadoes. The Apostle Paul said it best, "In Adam all die, but in Christ all shall be made alive now and forever." Look beyond the mess, my friends, and listen. Christmas is coming, and we need Christmas now more than ever. We must use the eyes of faith as the prophet pleads with the disparaging souls looking on the burned ruins of their city. The glory of God will be revealed when all people can experience the benefits of God's present and coming kingdom. For the devastated Jews, they wondered where might be the dwelling place of God when they saw their temple gone. So they needed to understand the glory of God in a different way. When we hear the glad tidings, in other words, good news, revealed not in the benign hope of material success, where moths and rust and enemies can destroy, but when the mouth of the Lord speaks and words of our God, the words of our God which shall stand forever. Those words spoken to all the cities, to all open hearts and to all people, saying, "Here is your God." The people that need to hear that good news might include the low-income students in Title I schools, immigrants navigating their way into a new country, people of color working through injustices created by 500 years of oppression, the LGBT community wondering if God's gracious promises include them, homeless mothers and children who wander in to receive a meal and some warm clothes at the Lansing City Rescue Mission, some of which was provided by a caring church in the neighborhood. They leave with an accompanying hope and help for a better life. The glory of God will be revealed when all the women of Haiti can safely place their babies into a clean box with warm blankets and transportation to medical personnel, not a witch doctor, but one who will provide prenatal care and instruction with the love and compassion of a tender shepherd. The mission will be complete when salvation arrives for the condemned, release comes from the prisoner, sustenance happens for the hungry, and homes are built for the homeless. That means salvation can arrive for us, all of us, meaning that God's glory is not reserved for faithful church members only in a beautiful decorated sanctuary on a Sunday morning, but beyond and into the mess of this world. We can take the revealed glory of God by sharing the bounty of God's goodness, even in the smallest of acts, with a heartfelt greeting, a hallway prayer, a hospital visit, a card of encouragement, a telephone call, a lengthy conversation, a shared meal, helping a neighbor who is surrounded by desert and wilderness, or inviting a lonely someone to church simply to experience love and acceptance as never before. God's glory is revealed when we confess our own crooked ways and rough places, which shall be made smooth when we stand beside the unchurched and unloved, not above them as the privileged people of God, but beside them confessing our own brokenness. This shall be called a spiritual pandemic that the world has never known and needs. And the most recognizable and visible sign of God's glory will be when we imitate the manner in which God deals with God's most errant children, including us. The prophets called Jerusalem a whore. Internet and social media bullies call a young woman caught in the web of her own charms a bimbo. But when the welcome words are heard, "Here is your God," hope was born with the promise of a coming, gentle, tender shepherd who does not condemn Jerusalem but weeps over the city he loves with compassion. That same gentle shepherd sends an adulterous woman away forgiven when the men with stones in their hands go away with a new recognition of their own brokenness. My friends, go and do likewise. Finally, and lucky for us, all of us. God has promised to feed us, which was so beautifully sung this morning. To feed us, God's flock, and to gather us and lead us gently beyond our messes. We gather at God's table to be fed with the bread of life and to drink from the cup of salvation and to rejoice, knowing that Christmas is coming when we hear the words, "Here is your God." Hallelujah. Let's eat.
Please join me in confession. Forgiving God, we come to this table knowing that we often fall short of all that you desire for us. Sometimes we both fail as individuals and as a community of faith. We seek your mercy and grace as we ask you for forgiveness and renewal, that we may better follow you. In the name of your Son, amen. We have this assurance that no matter how far we wander or how far we feel from God, we never move outside the boundaries of God's gracious love for us. We are loved, we are forgiven, we are blessed. We celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church in the tradition of our beloved teacher, who welcomed all to the supper, even those who betrayed him or ran in fear. So in like manner, we welcome you to this table, whether you are a member of this church, another church, or no church. All you need is faith or a desire for faith. This is the time when we all acknowledge our past failures, sins, and disappointments, and present ourselves to God, who offers us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just as we are and who we are at this very moment in our lives. You will be offered both the bread and the wine. We hold the elements until all are served, then we partake.
On the night when he was betrayed, as Jesus sat at supper with his disciples, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said to them, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And we'll eat together the bread. After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us drink the cup of salvation together.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this memorial of your love and have granted to us the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we ask you to strengthen our faith in you and to increase our love toward one another. Through him, our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Oh.
Where there is a mess, there is sin. Where there is sin, there is darkness. What has happened in the night will be brought to light. And while this country lies in shade, let your light shine through the darkness. Let this mess be exposed to your light. Let your peace, life, truth, and justice reign, O God, and never take your eyes from the light. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
As we say goodbye, I would just like to offer a thank you to all of you who so have generally supported our outreach projects during the Advent and Christmas season, including a $900 check that went to the Lansing City Rescue Mission this week. More coming in for those baby boxes that we heard about from Dorothy Frederick last week. Mittens, even some mittens and hats that were on the desk this morning or dropped off at the church. For all of that and for all of you are doing, God bless you as we invite the Lord of glory into this place, this neighborhood, and this world. Goodbye.